Hi, everybody. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Donna Fox on Akashic Wisdom on BBSRadio.com. Today is April 7th, 2003. And if you're listening on April 7th, 2003, then this is a live show. And if for some reason it's a different date, then it's pre-recorded. So just know that. But today we are speaking live, and you can call in your questions. And hopefully you've kind of looked at a little bit about what the show involves. And it is a call-in talk show. You're able to dial in and ask whatever questions you want from the Akashic Records, Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones. My process of opening the Akashic Records has to do with saying a specific sacred prayer, and my teacher was Elena Lieberman and Mary Parker. Been doing this for going on 17 years, and this show for probably almost 7 years or more. Anyway, actually I think it's probably more than that, but that's where I'm at. And you can call in to 530-763-1574, or the 800 number is 888 if you're in Canada or the U.S., 888-429-5471. Okay, so let's talk. So what's this week been like for you? You know, what's interesting about this week is that we have, I'm going to tell you what I'm hearing, that just because there are aspects around this time that, it's interesting, what they're saying is it may or may not be verifiable, but what is important to understand is that any energies that you are feeling that are not like you. So, for example, if you're experiencing a sadness, or if you're experiencing a challenge, and it's really more about getting yourself to do what it is that you want to do, there has been in the past month some very... it's very interesting. It's kind of a wave-like energy. It's been expansive and constricted at the same time. And but there also has been a lot of depression lately. And I also have fallen victim to that. And not that I feel it's a victim, but I do. When depression hits, you have to go into the core issue and ask what is the depression all about. And what happens many times is, again, and you can do this with the Akashic Records, and what I have, so when I go into my own personal Akashic Records, and again, for those people who are listening that don't understand or don't know what the Akashic Records are, they are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime, and every thought, word, and deed since the beginning of time and beyond, not just this planet, but galactically, are etched or vibrationally held in the Akashic Records. And so there is so when we come in to this body, when we decide to move into this time of being on planet Earth rather than another place in the galaxy, when we've decided to come to planet Earth, we have brought with us a certain agenda, a certain list of, like I said, it's our own little list of things to do, and some of it's not such a little list, as a matter of fact. And along with those lists of things to do are emotions to be felt, some emotions to be shoved down, and to experience the consequences of that, as well as various experiences for us to understand what it feels like to be in density and have these challenges occur. So we have to really look at the fact that when a person is in spirit, you know, challenges are actually, quite frankly, non-existent. When the fact that we are a spiritual being in a physical body with a personality and belief systems and way we were raised, and there's all sorts of elements and layers and levels of things that overlap in our experience on Earth, just from the fact that it's Earth. But when we are a pure spirit, when we are in a different, or let me get the right word here. When we no longer have these various levels, but we have a more purified, direct freedom of being spirit, then what happens is things, quite frankly, simplify. And when they simplify, it's a different experience, and we are able to really move into the wisdom and the energy of love. Now, depending on where we have chosen to be in density, whether it's on planet Earth or a different planet, different galaxy, or even if there's a different dimension that offers us density, each experience is going to be a little different. The same way every time you incarnate and come back to, whether it's planet Earth or another location, you bring forth things that are different. They have a different flavor to them. They have a different vibration to them. Even if it's something that you're trying to work out, work through, or heal from another lifetime or another level of consciousness, then when you come into this density, it looks and feels different. So the best way to explain that, so you'll understand that, is, I'm waiting for them to give me an example. So if you were to look at the color spectrum, and you wanted to experience the color of red, but at the time you had a lot of white with you, the red would then be pink. It's still red, but it has a different vibration because it's more pink. And so that's good. I'm getting another explanation. So if you're a coffee drinker and you like to drink your coffee black, and every day you drink your coffee black, but one day you want to experience what it's like to drink it with cream and sugar, that it's still coffee, but it's a different experience of that coffee. And let's say the next day you just want to taste it with black coffee and sugar, and the next day you just want cream and just the black coffee. Those are experiences, and what's happening is it's the coffee is still the same, but you're adding things in a different dimension for a different taste that either, in your opinion, enhance or detract it. And so when we come in to this lifetime with the parents that we have chosen to help us with our own physical DNA for our challenges and our attributes and our talents, as well as the behaviors and the belief systems that they also have chosen to work with, then we all of a sudden we have a different type of of a vibration and a flavor. So it's so when people say, "Well, I brought this lesson from last time," or "I'm working out what I didn't finish in a last lifetime," it's impossible to actually finish that exact piece because the circumstances are different in this lifetime. And so what the Akashic Records have told me, the masters, teachers, and loved ones, is that even though we may bring things from a past life to work on, it's much more important for us to focus on this lifetime and understand the core issues of this lifetime, how to heal them, how to understand them, how to neutralize them, how to work with them, how to enhance them, how to embrace them, and how to be successful with all attributes. It's much more important for us to focus on this lifetime because this experience is the only experience that has this flavor, that has this vibration, this combination of levels of consciousness and vibration. And past lifetimes, although they may give us an inkling of certain things, the reality is it's what's happening in the here and now and the way we react to it that we have to be so vigilantly aware of what's going on within us. And when we become vigilantly aware of what's going on within us, then we can actively and consciously make choices for our highest good in each and every situation. So what's coming forward here in the records is really important for us to understand that we, and especially at this time frame with these energies that are around, we can no longer blame what we did in a past life for what's going on with us today. We have to look at who we are and truly embrace it. And one of the hardest things that we have to do is to embrace the things we don't like or the aspects of ourselves that we want to quote-unquote fix. And so it's very important that we really look at those aspects, not from a critical point of view, but from a higher aspect, a higher level, to take a look at, A, what do they do to serve us, and B, how can we move into the acceptance so we no longer fight those parts of ourselves that we think work against us. Because the more we put energy into fighting them, the bigger they get. The more, it's like anything else, the more you focus on something, the larger it becomes. So it's really important for our development that we start focusing on what we like about ourselves and what we are proud of, rather than that which brings us shame or disappointment or causes us to bring out the should word. Because there's nothing we should be doing other than making ourselves happy. I mean, everybody has responsibilities, that's true. But the reality is the bottom line is learning how to be happy in a physical body. Learning how to be content and grateful and not revengeful or mean-spirited. It's about really embracing the fact that we are so much more than we give ourselves credit for and allowing that essence to expand and blossom. You are so much more than who you think you are. And it's really going to be important for you to really claim it. We're taking off the bubble, if you will. We're taking off the mask these days, looking at who we truly are. So, that's the way we're beginning the program tonight. Love to have anybody out there that would like to comment or has a question to call in. You know, if you're listening to BBS Radio right now, you can call in on our, if you're living in the United States or in Canada, you can call in toll-free at 888-429-5471. Or you can dial direct at 530-763-1574. And if you're in a outside of the U.S. in a different country, you can our country code is 011. So one of the things that the masters, teachers, and loved ones would like to talk about or like to share with you or even get your opinions on is how spending money affects you. How, for example, going shopping affects you. And that, because what I'm hearing is there are many people out there that may not drink, don't do drugs, don't smoke, don't gamble. Their drug of choice, don't overeat, their drug of choice is shopping. And that they do this, the shopping, unconsciously to feel good, especially when they're nervous, they're upset, they're feeling guilty, they're feeling a lack of self-worth. And so we can talk about that, we can talk about anything you like. We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Well, hi, good evening, Donna. This is Caroline.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name. Caroline. Oh, yes, hi. How are? Can you pull your phone up again, please, so we can hear you?
Oh, okay. Is this better?
Thank you.
Is this better?
Better. Better. So how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Well, I won't say wonderful, wonderful, because I do have something on my mind, and it's perfect blend with your show theme. So,
okay, great.
Well, I want to ask what's for my highest good. Something, a little episode happened on, I'm starting my own company, which is spiritual project, which is to bring out in the forefront a lot of light workers and to help them, marketing them, and set up events. And
okay.
I have one, I already have a couple of them lined up. And one seems to be giving me, oh my gosh, an extremely hard time that I think I'm coming to the conclusion that if it's so hard to work with this person, maybe it's not worth it. It's terrible for me to say that because I feel guilty by saying that. And I just want to ask, want to see what's in my Akashic records, what's for my highest good. If this individual is supposed to, I already set up 3 interviews for her, and I don't even know, they're like in limbo, what to do. I don't want to.
We talked about this last time.
Oh, yes, but a new episode happened.
but what's the episode? And there was, please be more, the more specific the question, the better the answer, Caroline.
Oh, great.
Because, again, please understand, you're on the radio. So people want to understand what your issues are.
Well,
okay, so it's real important that you go ahead and be as, so what are the new episodes with, is it the same client?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, last time we spoke, you said you had three engagements, and this person, this is what the records are saying, is that this person didn't want to continue, or that she wanted to take a break or something.
She took a break. Yes,
please,
yes.
Yes,
she did take that break, which to sell her house, and I got a call from out of nowhere, and she did tell me now she's ready.
Okay.
So I proceeded with setting up another interview, Okay. And this is where the little sneakiness sets in. I set up an interview, and then I spoke to the person, the radio producer, and mm-hmm. she said, okay, in lieu of a pre-interview, I'll have a session, a reading with her, because okay. I want to get to know her. No big deal. So I sent her an email, and I did call her up because it was a time thing after I sent the I talked to her on the phone, and she said at the end of the conversation, well, Caroline, I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to call up that person. And I said, well, I didn't really answer her. And
are you talking
about
the producer or your client?
My client.
Okay.
You know, she was
so
telling
your
me,
client
I don't
was
like,
call
I don't
the producer,
like,
right? Is that right?
Yeah, she kind of like, it was a, you know, like the last minute, I didn't even pay no attention to what she said because it was like, well, instead of you setting, I like to do things a certain way, you know, in a proper way, which is to, I'm the in-between person. She doesn't know who the other person is. So
okay.
what I was going to do is really set up an interview and let the other person know what time. So here I am, the middle person who's going to set up the time, you know, call both parties, say, okay, what's preferable, and that was it. So she ends up calling up the producer, and I never gave her the number to call, but she ends up calling her, and here I am, like, stuck in the middle, like as if she has no use for me, and I just said, well, maybe I need to train her because she doesn't know how I operate. So I sent her an email, you know, like to the point, precise, this is how I operate. You know, I start a process, I begin the process, and I'm part of the process, and I end the process. And I said, it was an eloquent email, you know, and I even gave her an example that I'm the same person as if you're going to an interview and you're hiring an agency to get you a job. And it's up to that agency to match you up with the right firm. But now, if you go behind the scenes and you call up the company yourself because you want to pay this person, and I'm not on payroll either. So this is all coming out of my heart. I send her a nice email. I told her, this is how I operate, and I only have the best intentions, you know, and if we're going to work together, because it doesn't seem like she wants me to get the people, but then she wants to control it. And it's not about
controlling.
Can I stop
you? I'm going to stop you for a minute.
Yeah.
Good. Because
okay.
here's
Thank
what
you.
I'm hearing. Here's what the master's teachers and loved ones are concerned is that you have not set your boundaries with this person yet.
Yeah, well, I think
the,
I did with an email.
The suggestion last week was that
yeah,
you would set your boundaries. And the reality is that you have to understand that what the way you're talking right now.
Yes.
Please understand, mm-hmm. it has a very, very strong victim vibration to it. And what they're saying is that if you either know how to handle your client, and if your client doesn't want to go along with your program, then you fire your client. And you either you get the money from the client that you want to get, or you don't. The reality is that not being sure of what you should do has nothing to do. It has everything to do with how you feel about working with this person, and has nothing to do with what you quote unquote should do. The should is not in there. The whole bottom line on this that we're going to cut right through is that the producer said she wanted to do a consultation with this woman. You told that to your client, and the client, you know, somehow got the number. And
yes.
if she is cutting you out from paying you because you got her the interview, that's because you did not have it in writing. And so from this point forward, Caroline, you have to decide: are you a businesswoman, or are you going to be a doormat? It's very, very clear.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to be hard here. But it's very, very serious here, because you cannot start a business unless your boundaries are intact. You can't start a business unless you have the proper legal documents to sign somebody on with. And you should never work without a retainer.
Yes, everything's been a freebie.
Well, that's because you don't have enough confidence in yourself to do what you need to do.
That's true.
And the reality is that you either are happy and excited about doing this work, and that happiness and excitement is going to bring you the confidence you need, because it's obvious you can get it done.
Yes.
Okay? But your client has to know what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, and what you expect from them. And the parameters need to be spelled out in the contract that you sign. For example, you know, everything has got to be laid out. If I get something for you, you know, I'm going to expect to be the middleman and work this out for you. If there's something you need from that producer or whatever, you need to tell me. That's what they're paying you for.
Yes.
Now, the other part of this is that if this person's a reader,
yes,
she's going to want to talk to this person before she does a consultation with her to help this person understand her process.
That's exactly how I set up. Yes, yes.
So yes. What's the problem?
The problem is, he kind of, like I said, I was going to set up the session according to whatever my client's schedule was. I sent her an email requesting that information. Tell me, let me know, what is your schedule for this week? Because this person, the producer, was interested in having a reading today, Sunday. And I let her know that. So I told her, give me a time. This is the time frame that the producer is available for the session. I didn't hear from her, and then yesterday morning when I got up, there was an email saying she already spoke with her, and she didn't leave me the time. Also, sneaky. There's a name for that, but I don't even...
No, you're putting a label on something that you haven't verified. And you're putting a label on the fact that you feel this is sneaky. The reality is that she might have just taken it into her own hands, because she didn't know any better, or for whatever reason, she didn't feel that there would be any consequences to it. Record keepers are saying is, notice that the words that you're using, the attitude you're carrying, and the energy you're holding for this particular client is that of resentment.
All of a sudden, yes.
And when you start resenting, when you start resenting anything that you're doing, you have to stop.
Yeah.
Because the resentment is not going to serve you, nor is it going to serve your client. And the other piece, nor is it going to serve when it comes to getting gigs for these people, because the producers you're talking to it's a bad vibe, and you're not going to want that if you're going to try to create a business.
Yeah, and I really don't want to have a client that I always have to watch my back. Thank you.
I mean, what else can you? There's nothing else. Yeah. You already knew that answer before you called. I mean, are you looking for permission?
No, I don't like this feeling. It's like.
But you're looking for permission.
Yeah, well.
You're looking for permission. Listen. Here's this very important for you. They're really pushing me on this. It's important that you understand that you own your own emotions. You don't need anybody else's permission, whether it be the Akashic Records, Donna Fox, or anybody else, to tell you how you feel and whether it's right or not. You feel it. That's your feeling, you have to act on it.
Yes. I thank you.
Again, not trying to be hard, but you have to, it's really important that not only you, but everybody out there, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it.
Yes.
Important lessons for you to start this business. For you to be a promoter, you have to get your, you have to have your act together, and you have to have your boundaries straight.
Well, I think I was just trying to be kind at the beginning, you know, being supportive, and you know, this all came up really quickly. You know, I have to tell you, this all started maybe a month and a half ago, and this just I always wanted to do this. I have
experience. So go on and do it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I know. I just like, this was like a little setback, you know, and I feel, you know, like I'm very spiritual, and I feel like, oh, just by these thoughts and these feelings, which, you know, I meditate and it goes away, but then somehow it comes back. So
it's going to come back because
I need a little help.
Yeah. Comes back because this is a pattern in your life of not trusting people and having people deceive you and betray you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Very much. Yes.
Right. And until you heal it, or until you get your boundaries straight, you're going to constantly attract it until you get it.
Yes. I got it.
I mean, the piece here is you have to be clear that what you think was kindness, okay, was a fear of setting your boundaries. Look at that. Can you understand that?
Oh, very much.
Yeah.
You're very much so. That's exactly.
Yeah.
Deep down,
yeah.
You know, if you go deeper. Yes.
Yeah. Core issue.
Yes.
And it has to do with your mom, by the way. I'm sure you know that, right?
Yes.
You got it. So there's a couple things that have to happen.
She went
Caroline.
Through it.
I'm sorry?
I said she went through it.
Right. And you looked at that.
Yes.
And emulated it. Rather than learning how not to do it. Do you understand that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you, there's some internal work that you need to do. And part of it has to do with forgiving your mom. And then the bigger part of it has to do with forgiving you. And the forgiveness part comes in when you have to look at yourself and you have to forgive yourself for not only being helpless, but for perpetuating the helplessness that allows you to be deceived or rejected or betrayed. Because quite frankly, you are there's no way you're a helpless person. You're a very smart, savvy lady.
Yes.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Yeah.
And you actually watch it happening. And then, so from this point forward, you've been put on notice. To allow that to happen anymore, not only does it not serve you, but it's time for that to be gone. You don't need that for people to like and care about you. For example, you don't need a client to say, "Oh, she's done so much for me. I just want to pay her so much money." No, that's not the way it works. The way it works is you have your hourly, you have what you want. You know, the whole idea is you have what you need. And you say what you need. And it's up to them to decide whether or not they want to work with you.
Yes.
Now, nobody says you have to charge top dollar at first. But you do have to be paid for your time, and you do have to have those boundaries in writing, legally.
That's what I've been actually looking into getting contracts. So, and my for everything that I'm going to do, like I paid so much attention to what you told me last week. That's what I did. I was extremely happy the whole week. It was very industrious. I just did my research on a lot of things and that I want to offer, and how much I'm going to pay. Where am I going to get a contract? Get a lawyer? Or, you know, I looked online to see if I could get a contract online. Still looking. I did, you know. And then this one, I know I have to do a lot of some internal light work,
But the piece here is why do you feel that she betrayed you just because she talked to this person and setting up a reading? Why is that betraying you? You still got the interview for her. You're still working for her. Why is that betrayal? Why are you qualifying that way?
If I'm having a conversation with her saying, okay, I'm going to set up what is your time? She never gave me the time. At the end of the conversation, she goes, you know, Caroline, I could call that person myself, and I could set up, because I don't like this back and forth. And I'm like thinking, what? I said, then what do you need me for? That's the way I was looking. I said, what do you need me for? And I'm thinking, we already set up two interviews. It's all done, all set up. All she needs is to show up in those dates. And now this third one has become an issue. And I think I'm not, has become an issue because I feel like she went behind my back. She didn't go behind my back. When I'm asking the person, what time she's going to be, I'm going to get back to her. She says, I'm going to get back to me to let me know the time. And all of a sudden, she's not telling me the time. I get an email. She spoke to her already. It's like, and it's not the first incident. There's been many incidents. I mean, a few incidents before.
With this person?
Yes, yes.
Well,
yes.
Then,
when I'm working,
first time, yes. Shame on her. Second time, shame on you. Third time, what are you there for?
Exactly. I didn't have to be here. That's the problem.
What'd you say?
I didn't have to be here because, I feel it in my heart chakra that, this is just too much. It's just too much, What else is she going to pull on? That's the way I look at it. What other lessons do I need to be around this person? Is it karma?
Well, I really appreciate you calling, Caroline. I do have another caller. Okay.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
I think you got your answer, though, didn't you?
Yes, I
Hello?
Did.
You did get your answer,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, darling.
I did. Confirmation. Thank you.
Okay, keep in touch. Thank you so much for calling. Okay, bye-bye. Hello, I can take my next caller.
Hello?
Hi, is this Tan?
Yeah, this is Tan from Virginia.
Hi, and can you spell your name for me, please? Your first name? Is it T-O-N?
Sure. It's actually T-H-A-N-H. Thank you for taking my call.
Are there quite well? It's T-A-H-N-H?
T-H-A-N-H.
T-H-A-N-H, correct?
Yes.
Is that what I heard you say?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, well, thank you so much. Have you listened to the program before?
No, this is my first time. I just randomly came upon it looking at your website. I apologize.
Okay.
I didn't. I only got it towards the end.
We've got a whole other, we've got some time left. So please, thank you so much for waiting. I do appreciate you waiting.
Huh?
How can we help you tonight?
Well, you mentioned how important it is for us to know our self-value, our importance.
Correct.
In this world.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need, or I guess need specifically, need to do to release, or how do I come about accepting myself and feeling whole and complete?
I had a little bit of a hiccup there in the communication. So let me repeat what I think I heard you say. So how do you, or what actions do you take to help yourself trust yourself and feel whole and complete? Is that what your question is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so first of all, for you, Tan, it's really you know you have a first what they're telling me is that you have a very spiritual background.
Yes.
And that one of the reasons you came in to this body is to actually to to better get to know your ancestors in the physical. When I say things, I'm repeating what I'm hearing. So, do you understand that statement?
To better know my ancestors
in the physical.
Physical.
Yep. That there were. There were situations that, in other words, like you wanted to identify with your ancestors from a physical point of view, not just a spirit point of view.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you? Can you identify with that?
Well, there was a grandmother who passed away. But
can you make your phone louder? Because I can hardly hear you.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes, that's much better. Go ahead.
Okay. There was a grandmother that I wanted to know better, but she passed away.
And you were how old?
I was an adult. I was adult, but I was a selfish adult, I think.
You were what? I'm sorry?
That I was a selfish adult. I was too self-centered, I think, to realize the importance of my relationship with her.
Okay.
Or to have a better relationship with her. To be honest, better to know my ancestors.
You need to go back to that.
Okay.
So, why are you calling yourself a selfish adult? Because you didn't have a better relationship or a closer relationship with her?
There was an opportunity where I could have given and cared more. But I chose to do what I want at that time.
And you regret that, is that what you're saying?
I lived in it for several years afterwards, yes. That's probably my deepest regret in life.
And so have you considered having a conversation with her now to express your regret?
That might be a possible solution.
I can't hardly hear you, darling. You keep going in and out on me. I don't know. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I actually am on a cell phone.
Okay, so are you moving around or you're in one spot?
I'm moving towards the window, hoping that
okay.
maybe the signal can be.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. So please repeat what you said right before I asked you what kind of phone you're on.
Yes, it was a cell phone. Let's see here. I will do that. I think I will do that tonight. I will have a conversation with my grandmother.
And you can do it a variety of different ways. You can either have an actual verbal conversation with her, and then feel the, it's like first you want to get into your, a very sacred space.
Okay.
And you want, you really want to do whatever is meaningful to you to open your heart to receive.
Okay. I'm jotting down notes.
And that's fine. That's great. I'm glad you're doing that. And so you can move into that. The other piece is you can also, you can, so you can have a verbal conversation with her, you know, or you can journal the information.
Okay.
Now, the what's going to be important is that you leave space for her to answer you.
Okay.
So you want to call her forth.
Time to listen.
I'm sorry?
Try to really listen. I'm just repeating.
Okay.
I understand it when you say leave space for her to answer.
Leave space. Like on your, if you're journaling, so put your initials next to what you're writing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then give yourself time to receive any information. If you're going to write down what you think you're, or not what you're receiving, you put her initials as a response.
Okay.
What's important here is this is part, the what I'm hearing from for you is that there's a pattern of running away from feelings.
That's true, actually. And a lot of relationships, particularly romantic relationships.
Correct. And the reason why you run away from relationships has to do with your fear of being abandoned. Abandoned emotionally.
From the previous wife?
I'm sorry?
The abandonment comes from a past life?
No. Don't worry about past life right now.
Okay.
What you have to know is that that whatever has happened emotionally to you in this lifetime, with your upbringing, with your parent, the way your parents parented you, with the belief systems that you were born with, and the DNA that you carry, all of that combines to the way we live our lives.
Okay.
Whatever you chose in a past life, from a past life to bring to this lifetime, is now has the overlay of all those vibrations and nuances of this lifetime. So part of your work in this lifetime is to work on forgiveness.
Yes.
And the biggest piece is the forgiveness of self.
Yes. I think that in full circle with my grandmother.
Right. But it also has to do with there's also a pattern of beating yourself up for leaving too soon in relationships.
Yes. Again, I do admit running away from my feelings, especially.
Right.
Strongly, I think it's more poignant or more obvious in romantic relationships. Fear of abandonment may be why I fear in my and not being forgiving of myself. Comes back.
I'm sorry,
to
I didn't hear that first part.
I'm connecting the pattern of running away from feelings.
Uh-huh.
That you say that the root is the fear of abandonment.
Yep.
comes from the lack of self-forgiveness, which also, and guilt, guilt in not serving my grandmother better, for instance, guilt based upon my upbringing, my belief systems, that has lowered my self-esteem and self-worth, such that it's like a vicious cycle. I can't, particularly in romantic relationships, I have a tendency to withdraw and run away when I find that I'm maybe becoming more emotionally involved.
But there's a fear that they will leave you first.
Yes. That had happened recently with a recent romantic relationship.
Did your partner leave you first, or did you leave?
It's hard to say. I think I emotionally withdrew first.
Oh, I see. Which caused your partner to leave?
Possibly, or have less confidence in our relationship.
Okay.
Could you give me more insight into that one?
Yeah, it's going to be a little hard only because I don't have that person's name and I don't want you to give the name over the air. And I, you know, when I do these consultations or these mini things on the air, on the program, I only have a portion of information. I feel your vibration, in other words, like the vibration is very clear for you. It could actually go deeper and more expanded if with a full legal name, but I don't have that right now. But what's important to understand is that, I'm sorry, what?
Can a birth date suffice for a name?
Can you what?
Can a birth date replace
no,
the
no.
name?
No, it's not. A birth date's got nothing to do with it. I mean, because it has to do with literally the vibration of a person's name. It's the vibration that they came in on that is where the file is held. And what happens is, if a person changes their name, okay, then that creates another file. And it's whatever you're known as now is what your current file is, even though you have let's say when a woman gets married, she has a married last name. So she's known as that name currently, but it will still hold the vibration of the other.
So many times what
people will do is they'll email their first and last name. But that's not necessary. What I'm trying to say is I can't open anybody else's records without their permission, like your partner. I can't open those records because I don't have I can only work with relationships as they relate to you.
I see.
Okay, and so what happens is I can't, you know, sometimes the masters, teachers, and loved ones will give me insight into a relationship of another person, but it has more to do with how the person, the individual, my client, is reacting to that information. It's like how they're, not reacting, that's the wrong word, how it relates to you in this life. What your reactions are energetically. And so there are many relationships that come forward to actually educate us as to our pattern. And those relationships, whether they're romantic relationships or whether they're business relationships or just family relationships, those relationships keep coming until we understand, oh, there's a pattern here that doesn't feel good. What part am I playing in this pattern? And usually it's a big part if you're noticing it. And so the idea is how would my life look and feel different if I were to approach it in a different way? And then it's up to the individual, like you, then you would figure, well, now how can I approach this differently? What action steps would I need? Or could I take to neutralize this pattern? That's something that you would ask on the records or during a regular consultation. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I was wondering, what do I need to do to break that pattern of running away from my feelings?
That's a great question, though. The first thing that's coming forward is that it's interesting because the pattern is very similar to the first caller, is that you first have to validate and claim your emotions. You have to forgive yourself with you, though, you have some perceived things that you quote unquote should have done, and the shoulds are only your perception.
So
go ahead.
I was thinking the term that I came upon was ultra responsibility.
I'm sorry, say it again. I'm really having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, I'm actually hearing echoes of me.
So what did you say about responsibility?
Well, you said that one of the problems I have in self-forgiveness is that I have perceptions of what I should have done, guilt. Is that I have a complex with guilt and being ultra responsible?
Right, exactly. Exactly. And so the idea here is there's some things that are in your control, and there's some things that aren't.
Okay.
And so, I have 3 minutes left to do this right now.
Thank you.
So I'll do what I can in 3 minutes. It's really important that you understand that from this point forward, what you didn't do no longer is relevant.
No longer is
relevant. So you need to really let that go, because it's like carrying a bag of rocks on your back.
Yes.
And the bag of rocks the rocks are the rocks. You can do one of two things with the rock. Actually, three. You can keep on carrying those rocks, but the rocks aren't going to change unless you take them and smash them. And then they're no longer rocks. You can smash them to smithereens. Or you can say, I don't even want to put that much effort into it. I'm taking the bag of rocks, putting it on the side of the road, I'm blessing it for the lessons that it gave me, and I'm moving on because I can now stand up and walk free. Now, you may not be able to do the full bag of rocks, but it's really going to be very important that one by one you let what was go. Because you cannot move forward if you're constantly looking back.
The past is the past.
The past is the past. You made the choices. You did what you did. It's done. All you can do with that information is decide and claim and commit that from this point forward, you will make a choice that makes you feel better, feel good about you.
Thank you. That's a very sage advice for anyone, Ashley.
Say what?
Thank you.
I didn't hear what you said about advice.
I appreciate your sage advice.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. But it's now I have to end the show because I've got somebody else coming on. So here's the thing. If you want to further this, call me next week, or you can also call for a private consultation. Up to you. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And you can eat. And what I would suggest you also do is, if there's something that you would, if you'd like to be on my email list, or if you'd like me to email you information, you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com.
Thank you.
And then my private number is 216-691-1233. Yeah, 691-1233, area code 216. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless your
You're
heart.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening.
Help.
I hope you listen again, and I hope what you've received has been helpful.
Yes, it has been helpful. I'm most appreciative, and I will continue on listening. I hope that
and
others
you
will.
And you also need to start being really good to yourself, okay?
Okay. I will practice self-love better. Thank you. All right. Bye.
All right. I have to go. I want to thank the Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records for the Akashic Wisdom Show on April 7th and 8th, as it goes into, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Have a miracle-filled week, everyone. I love you very much. Hope to talk to you next week. Bye-bye.